You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what is up? You're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast, a postseason edition of the Fantasy Live Alex Gellhart, explain to me how we are here in the postseason doing a fantasy podcast. That's what the listeners
are. We just have so much fun sitting here in the podcast studio together that we wanted to get together and just keep talking. And there is still football. There is still some fantasy to be played.
There is some fantasy to be
played. We just wrapped up the season on Sunday, so we've got a lot to talk about, like what we learned, what happened, what surprised us from 2015, because it was a weird season.
It was a weird season. All right, so let's do it. We'll go around the horn here. We got the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin. You heard him, Alex Gilhar. It's Tie Tuesday, and yet another day, I am not wearing a tie.
Well, only 40% of us right now are actually wearing ties.
That's a great point. We got, you heard MG, my guy Marcus Grant. We've got the very stylish Matt Franciscovich, the franchise, in the house as well. You're rocking a cloth tie, which I'm a proponent of. I advocate that, with a tie clip as well.
Yes, sir.
And West Virginia's finest, of course, Matt Harmon. Welcome to the podcast, pal.
Hey, still not from West Virginia, but thanks for having
me. Okay, good. Not rocking the tie.
No, I forgot. Normally, I don't come in on Tuesdays, so I forgot.
But wearing a very nice sweater vest, so it's good.
It's not a sweater vest. It's just a sweater.
Right? It's a sweater vest.
There's, as far it's not as a vest.
As far as I'm concerned, anything that goes over a collared shirt is a sweater vest.
You are the devil.
All right. So what do we got, man? We got daily. A little bit of daily. We got a little bit of a perfect playoff.
Playoff challenge. You're just mixing all those great NFL
all of the games.
Together.
All of the games I'm mixing. Explain to the people out there what playoff challenge is.
All right, well, we can get this out of the way early. Playoff Challenge is the game on NFL.com that you can play if you thought your fantasy season was over.
It is not.
It is not. How it works is you get the entire crop of players from the playoffs to pick from, and you get multipliers each week of the playoffs that you have the same players in your lineup. So part of the strategy is either riding a hot wild card team or picking a team in the bye, because you won't get points this first week, but you'll get double points next week. So it's trying to pick the players basically that you think will end up in Super Bowl 50, and if you win, you get to go to Super Bowl 51. Hooray!
Where is Super Bowl 51, by the way?
Houston.
Oh yeah.
All right. So how do you want to do this? You want to do playoff challenge first, and
sure.
then do the 2015 season reactions.
We'll do that right now. We all did our playoff challenge lineups, which you can read the articles on NFL.com/fantasy. Mine. Normally, I go with the bye teams. I kind of loaded it up with Seahawks this year.
Yeah, man.
Uh-oh.
I like a lot of these wild card teams. I think KC, Pittsburgh.
KC's a sneaky one, too. I almost stuck it. I almost did some Chiefs, too. But
Pittsburgh, as a wild card, to me, they're the most dangerous team in the AFC. Well, I don't know if they're the most dangerous team, but they're the team that nobody wants to see right now.
Except maybe the Bengals.
I mean, they played them well.
Well, I say that because, you know, for all of the big things and all the great numbers that offense in Pittsburgh put up during the season,
yeah,
they struggled down the stretch with some division teams. They laid an egg against the Ravens, no pun intended.
Horrible.
No pun intended. And they came out against the Austin Davis-led Browns, and really for a half, they were in a battle with that team. It wasn't until the second half that they started to pull away. I mean, and I had the good fortune to be invited on the Dave Damashek football program on Monday.
Traitor.
I know. Yep. Sorry. My bad.
Wait. Hold on. Now, you were accepting an award.
I wasn't accepting an award for the best non-football playing guest on DFP.
Boom!
It's always an honor to be nominated. But you know, one of the things Ike Taylor said, and I do agree with, he's like, look, when obviously having been through some of those battles in that division, you throw everything out. I think the way he put it was really good. He's like, you know, if you see somebody two times a day, every day, you're going to get to know that person pretty well versus seeing them once a year. You're not going to know that person as well. And I think that's what you have in this game where the Steelers could easily win this one. The Bengals could easily win this one. This one is maybe the biggest toss-up in the first round.
And the Steelers and Bengals did play a close one as well early in the season, to your point, Marcus Grant. Kansas City and at the Houston Texans is your other AFC wildcard game. Seahawks at Vikings, Green Bay at Washington. Matt Harmon, anyone jump out in this wild card weekend that you like?
The Washington-Green Bay matchup is really interesting because, you know, normally you'd think like, oh, Green Bay, it's going to roll over Washington, you know,
right.
Because that happens all the time with like this team that, you know, theoretically sneaks into the playoff with a bad record or whatever, or like a 9-7 record. I think they're going to win this matchup again, and Washington's a pretty easy offense to predict right now as far as their pass game goes. Kirk Cousins is on fire. Jordan Reed is great.
Cousins has had 11 passing touchdowns and no interceptions in his last 10 quarters.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's good.
That is
some good football.
That is insane.
And that Packers offense
is
not
bad.
Good.
And you can just say it. You don't have to couch your words because I'm here. That team is bad.
No, yeah,
they're
bad. I mean, the team is trash. But there are, but
he went from couching to just lighting it on fire.
Well, listen, if you're gonna open that door, I'm gonna walk right through it. But I can't remember who said it on Twitter yesterday, but like by some measurement, Washington's like the worst defense to ever make the playoffs, I think. And that's like for playoff challenge or DFS, that's gonna create some opportunities on that Green Bay offense. But like, who the hell do you pick?
The hoodie.
Really?
Oh, the
theoretically, I was looking at like the cornerback wide receiver matchups. Okay. Theoretically, it should be Randall Cobb because he has a matchup with Will Blackman in the slot, who's not a good player. He seems like he's a pretty nice guy, but they signed him off the street. You know, he's kind of already been like a special teamer, and he's having to play their slot corner position.
Yeah.
And so theoretically, it should be Cobb, but he's been just so disappointing this year. I don't know how you can roll with that with any confidence.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Franchise, you were the one that put a bunch of Washington players in your lineup. What's your strategy there for playoff challenge?
Well, I stacked Kirk Cousins, Jordan Reed, and DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
So basically, ooh, you think Washington is going to go to the Super Bowl.
I mean, yeah, and if they don't, and Kirk Cousins will still throw 3 touchdown passes against Green Bay at least. Like
he's on fire.
Can we talk about that real quick? The Kirk Cousins came out in a game when everybody knew he was only going to play maybe a couple of quarters and just came out firing in the first quarter.
It was insane. It was nuts. And I think there was a couple early turnovers because Kellen Moore
is Kellen.
he was playing.
Started out horribly. So the Redskins were in really good field position early in that game, like several times. Which helped Kirk Cousins. But there was like a fourth opportunity. He started the second quarter in the first drive, and they got down, I think, inside the 20 maybe, and there was a chance for Kirk Cousins to throw a fourth touchdown pass, but they settled for a field goal. So, I mean, this offense is just on fire under Kirk Cousins right now. So I think and, you know, DeSean Jackson's always a bit of a risk. He's like a boom or bust kind of guy. But if he booms,
right,
they beat the Packers, and then you're getting the multiplied points for the next round.
It's pretty good.
The Washington stack is pretty good for playoff challenge.
So playoff challenge, the way it works, too, is so it'd be nice if you could find a wild card team that makes it to the Super Bowl because you get those first week of games, and then you get all the multipliers on top of that. But let's say you don't. Let's say you just really like, you know, Carson Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
You won't get any points for the first round, but in the second round, you'll get
double
the points.
Right.
In the third round, you get triple the points. So, I mean, you want to pick teams. You want to pick teams and players that are going to go basically to the Super Bowl. So Cam Newton, obviously, is going to be a very popular pick among playoff challenge participants. And there's a prize, too, right? I think you win a
trip to Super Bowl.
Super Bowl 51.
Super Bowl next year.
Super Bowl Lee.
Super Bowl Lee.
Does that mean Jet Lee is going to do, like, the coin toss and stuff? You know?
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. All right, enough playoff challenge stuff. Let's get to our 2015 season reactions here. A crazy season. I feel like I say that every single year,
We always do, but this year in particular was a crazy season.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the top 10 running backs.
Right. I was actually going to pull that up.
Please.
And
I'm looking at it right now.
So, Devonta Freeman.
It's a mess.
Adrian Peterson, Doug Martin, D'Angelo Williams, Todd Gurley, Lamar Miller, David Johnson, Chris Ivory, Matt Forte, and Latavius Murray round out your top 10. You know who's 11? Danny Woodhead. Danny Woodhead.
and a lot of it was on the strength of that with that three touchdown game he had late in the season.
Right. Frank Gore
he scored four touchdowns.
Four touchdowns. You're right. Four touchdowns in week 15.
That's not cool.
It's funny, too, because you look at this list, and the only names in the top 10 that you would have expected to be in the top 10 at the end of the year, Adrian Peterson and Matt Forte.
Yeah.
Those are the only ones you could have predicted possibly being in the top 10.
And David Johnson started like four games, and he's in the top 10.
So last year there were eight running backs that scored 200 or more fantasy points. This year there were only two.
Wow.
Doug Martin fell 0.7 fantasy points short, but.
Yeah, five fumbles isn't helping there.
So anyways, like 2015.
The 2015 running back position was just such a and the other thing about it was that not only did you lose stars, this is what was kind of weird about it, right? So you lose stars. Okay, I get that. You lose stars every single year.
Yep.
But then their replacements, a lot of the replacements off the waiver wire were better than the guys they were replacing. Jeremy Langford in the two or three games that he started was absolutely ridiculous. Thomas Rawls in the two or three games that he started was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
D'Angelo Williams more productive than Le'Veon Bell when he started.
And for the record, Thomas Rawls finished just outside the top 25.
Oh. I mean, so it's why this year to me was just we talk about Charcandrick West, an incredibly productive back.
Just outside the top 30.
Off the waiver wire. It was a weird season in terms of just how I always thought the injuries were the injuries. I mean, obviously we got a lot of injuries to star players this year, but the waiver wire this year had to have been one of the most productive waiver wires in recent memory. There's no question about
it. To your point there, like this season to me felt like it was almost like a bunch of mini chapters of a story instead of like one long story. Like there were probably, you could probably count on like two hands the guys that you could count on every single week of the fantasy season.
Yeah.
Like there was the Devonta Freeman like goes berserk.
That's right.
There was the, you
the
know,
Deion Lewis.
Deion Lewis.
Oh my God. R.I.P. Deion Lewis. There was D'Angelo Williams was there and then he was gone and then he was back again. And even some of the wide receivers were like that too. There was the Doug Baldwin explosion at
the
end.
In the second half, yeah, in the back end.
Even like
or Antonio Brown when he got Mike Vicked.
Yeah, and even some of the guys like Julio Jones even like went quiet there for a while. So
right.
That's one thing that I learned was like be willing to kind of adapt and move like on the fly and like pick up on these like trends when they start instead of like 3 weeks into it and be like, oh, I missed out.
To your point, Adam Rank, we've got a running joke on the fantasy show. He says this is literally a quote, each and every week I start my daily fantasy roster with and it's ... And I remember in the early part of the season, he would just say, each and every week, I start my daily fantasy roster with Julio Jones. And then it was, each and every week, I start my daily fantasy roster with Antonio Brown. Then it was, each and every week, I start my daily fantasy roster with Jordan Reed. And it was kind of a running joke, but I think that's kind of what you were talking about. This season, and I know a lot of teams play their seasons in quarters as well, first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, last quarter, but I got to say, franchise, that's kind of what it felt like today or this year.
Yeah, it was rough. I mean, a lot of these guys weren't even drafted like in the first 10 rounds. I'm doing a piece on top 10 bargains right now. And a lot of the
top 10 bargains, wasn't it 12, bro?
Top 12 bargain draft picks, of 2015.
Don't cut out.
I'm doing three at each position, sorry. And a lot of the guys on that list or on this list we got that were
waiver wire guys?
A lot of them were late-round picks, but we got this email from our research team last week of, like, the players that were
on championship
teams. So, like, a guy like Doug Baldwin
was
drafted super late.
If at all. If at all.
Waiver wire pick late in the season was on 22% of championship teams. Mm. Gary Barnage was a waiver wire pickup this year.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knew who Gary Barnage was starting.
Exactly.
And a guy like
I had to do deep research to find out who he was in week three.
Right. Right.
And I remember at the time, it's like, who in the F is Gary Barnage?
And even a guy like Brandon Marshall, like pretty much everyone on the Jets was a bargain draft pick.
For sure.
Because no one believed in that offense.
Right.
And they all just exploded. I don't know. It was a weird season.
Looking ahead to 2016, top five guys. Anybody?
Overall?
Top five guys. Yes, overall.
I think Lev Bell is still there.
Okay.
You think Antonio Brown?
Antonio Brown is probably a top five guy.
Brown is probably the 101 in like PPR leagues. I would take him tops.
Yeah.
Even maybe in standard. Yeah.
I was just going to ask you guys, in next year, looking forward to 2016 drafts, is 2016 the year where it now becomes a wide receiver centric draft, especially at the top? I mean, at the bottom, we've seen that for years now. But I'm saying at the top, in the top five, are we going to see guys like Julio Jones and Antonio Brown sneak into the top three, four, five picks?
Yes.
I
think so. I mean, simply because there is more
stability.
Stability is probably a better word there. You know, and I always like one of my favorite Elliot Harrison phrases is sometimes a player's best ability is his availability. And, right. You know, that's what you had with the wide receiver position, where you knew week in and week out you didn't have to worry about Antonio Brown or Julio Jones or, you know, DeAndre Hopkins not being available for you, where every week you were checking the injury reports, the inactives, to make sure this running back or that running back was going to start. And I don't think that's going to change. I mean, the nature of the game is that being a running back is more physical and you're going to take more punishment. You're going to potentially suffer more injury. And I think that uncertainty is going to change the way people approach their drafts.
Zero running back started because the whole point of it was it's supposed to be an anti-fragility strategy because running backs are so fragile both
right.
in their roles and just naturally they get banged up because they get hit more. So that's, I guess, you don't want to expose yourself to that risk. But at the same time, when you said like running backs are more they're more volatile, as like from a season-long perspective, I think so. But like week to week, like, you know, you can count on your running back in theory to get like 15 touches, but wide receiver scoring can go up and down.
Right. Yeah. All those guys at the top of the wide receiver thing I was just looking at did have weeks where they disappeared. I mean, you expect some variance with wide receivers because they don't.
That's the thing. They're more like naturally variant position
right.
to week, but season, like from a whole season, you can count on them more than a running back.
Except I think this goes back to a lot of what we saw with the injuries at the running back position. And you know, we were talking about this in the Stronghold earlier in the week. Is that you look at the guys in the top 10, and you look at I keep talking about Doug Martin, who I really like this year, but I liked him as an RB2. He finishes as the third scoring running back simply because of attrition. I mean,
dude had 1,400 yards.
Right, but you talk about that variance. I mean, he had a lot of variance in his week to week. The kind that if you had him as your second running back, if you had him along with a Le'Veon Bell or an Arian Foster, you're feeling really good about your running back position. When you're plugging him as your main fantasy running back, then that's where the worry begins.
Didn't want to talk about the top five. How high does David Johnson go?
Just going to mention him if you didn't.
I feel like he's the one running back that I would feel extremely confident about in next year's drafts.
Yes.
Lev Bell coming off of a second ACL. And it was not early in the year. This is again, maybe halfway through the season, he goes down with an ACL. Thomas Rawls, who came on and looked like a beast, and I know it's weird to say he's looked like a beast in Seattle, but man, he did. He looked awesome in Seattle. But considering he broke his ankle that late in the season, you can't feel that confident about taking that guy early on. Jeremy Langford, we don't know what Matt Forte's situation is going to be. It seems like there's a lot of question marks, obviously, at running back, that there always is, and that's fine. I mean, I cannot imagine Eddie Lacy, despite being in a contract year, is going to sneak into the first round again.
He burned too many people this
year. Yeah. Although I will say this, I think next year he's going to be a great value.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm excited. I'm excited. Assuming he, gets in shape and is motivated for his contract, I can't wait to draft him, next year in season long.
Where does he go? Second round?
He'll probably slip to that second or third area.
I feel like if you did a draft early, like super, super early, he'll go in, the fourth.
Yeah.
You probably would. But as the season progresses and people see him.
As the preseason goes,
The glowing reports are coming out of Green Bay. Like, Eddie Lacy's in the best shape of his life.
He's going to be chiseled.
Learned so much from last year and blah, blah, blah.
He's going to be chiseled, man.
Which, by the way, speaking of early hype train or smoke screens, you mentioned Jeremy Langford. I don't know how many of you guys saw the tweet yesterday that Ryan Pace, the general manager for the Bears, is already talking up a running back rotation next year.
Now, trying to bring back?
I don't know. I don't know.
Or Kadeem Carey.
Probably Kadeem Carey.
Carey. But, I mean, here we are in January. We haven't started the playoffs yet, and the Bears general manager is already hyping up a
committee.
Running back
yes!
Committee let's, for next season.
Let's not go.
Hooray!
No thanks.
And John Fox has no history of committees at all.
None
whatsoever.
None.
Okay. Not looking forward to that already. But the top five. Give me a top five very quickly.
Lev Bell.
Okay.
Antonio Brown.
Okay.
Todd Gurley.
Okay.
Gronk, maybe?
I might top five.
I mean, I went with him in the top five in a couple spots, and I liked it. He was one of the few guys that, like, he didn't always offer you that ceiling, but he was a pretty, like, a safe play every week.
Right.
I think Julio?
I don't know, though.
Does Julio creep in?
Probably.
I think Peterson is still top five.
Yeah, Peterson will be top five until he's dead.
True.
He's not wrong.
There's got to be – here's the thing, though. I get that in most standard leagues that AP will go in the top five, but let's say you're in, like, a sharps league, right? Like, is AP really going to be in the top five? Because there's got to be too much concern, right? The wear and tear, the age, the inevitable drop-off. No? Nothing?
I wouldn't do it because I'm always scared of the age drop off with running backs, but I would take, this sounds so stupid, like, this far away, but I would definitely take David Johnson over Adrian Peterson.
I would too.
I mean, I'm that idiot that always falls for the upside anyways, but I mean, he's in one of the best offenses in the NFL. I don't really see that changing for any reason.
I don't see that changing.
And I don't know. I mean,
look, the injury bug could definitely. I mean,
yeah,
it's not like Carson Palmer is the model of health here,
right? So, but that's a concern with everybody. I mean, we saw, like, Darren freaking McFadden played 16 games this year. The injury, like, label can be so up.
You're injury prone until you're not. Like, yeah. So did Jonathan Stewart. Didn't get injured until, you know, like, week 15 or whatever.
Here's the upside with Adrian Peterson.
Okay,
I mean, one, you can say that having essentially a year off, but he turned 30 this past year.
Yeah.
With the year off, you can call this his age 29 season. Next year maybe is the age 30 year for him technically. Plus, I started to see a lot more Jerick McKinnon getting involved in those
games.
Dude,
I love Jerick McKinnon.
And I think he's fantastic. But I also think that will be Minnesota's way to cut down on the wear and tear that Adrian Peterson takes. I mean, he wasn't really a third down back. He was – I don't want to call him a two-down back because he's much better than your average two-down back, but a lot of third downs, it was Jerick McKinnon or Matt Asiata on the field. So,
I'm telling you.
That's the wave of the future.
Peterson also talked a lot this year about adjusting to, like, being a shotgun running back and how he had a hard time adjusting to that. So that's something to watch, like, on third downs. If it's third and long, they plug McKinnon in.
Is this a year we can finally just put to bed? North Turner, his system's done. I mean, let's just call it what it is, right? Like, it's like I get so tired of people saying North Turner is this great offensive mind, and then they keep saying, well, look at what the Cowboys were in the 90s, guys. Yeah. This is a different ball game entirely. His offenses have struggled mightily, given and he's had good pieces. You go back to San Diego, Phillip Rivers, all those running backs that they had down there, Antonio Gates, the wide receivers, Vincent Jackson. He had weapons. They struggled. He goes to Minnesota. He's got Teddy Bridgewater, a nice young developing quarterback. Adrian Peterson, not really too many wide receivers. That's fine. But I mean, the bottom line is this is not a great offense that Minnesota is winning with. They're winning
it's
with defense.
Fully conservative.
Yeah,
I'm
very,
just
very much so.
I'm just tired of hearing about the North Turner chatter. And
I would like
being
to
a
see.
Great
I
offensive
would player. Like to see what that offense does with another wide receiver. Because right now it's Stephon Diggs.
Well,
that's it.
Speaking I mean, Mike Wallace still has speed on the outside.
No.
No.
Don't. No. He's bad.
No?
Okay. So bad.
I mean, but even Stephon Diggs is just, I mean, he's not a number one wide receiver.
No.
Defense is caught up to him.
Yeah, they did. But I mean, like, that's what I mean. Like, let's put somebody else in there. Like, you know, give Teddy another option. he was never going to get him, but give Teddy Laquan Treadwell or something. Like, let's get somebody else in there and see what happens.
That would be fun.
I remember, guys, remember Charles Johnson?
Remember that?
I do remember that. I wrote about recapping all my reception perception takes. I wrote about that this past week, and that was one of them. Like, as soon as I saw that name, I was like, oh, my God, I forgot about him.
Yeah.
Wait, how did he grade out?
Oh, he was really good last year.
Oh, yeah?
In 2014, that little, like, stretch he had.
Yeah.
He ended up scoring really well. And I was like, yeah, this is great. You know, he's the big outside fit. Like, talk about North Turner. He fits that profile.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I mean, it's going to be a guy to go back and watch in the offseason, but I have no idea what happened. He completely fell off the face of the earth.
I felt like last year he was productive because he was highly targeted. But when I was just watching him run, just eyeball test, he looked a little stiff to me.
Yeah, the thing about, like, he graded out as, like, getting separation, especially, like, as a vertical threat. He actually graded out better than Mike Wallace in that regard.
Wow.
But then what he was, so, like, in the below the 20th percentile in making contested catches. Mm. And you could see that all the time. Like, he just doesn't have the fluidity to, like, and timing to go up and get balls in traffic. That was really bad. So, right.
Well, there you go. I lost my train of thought here. I forgot where I was going here.
Can I make one more point?
Yes, please.
On the 2015 recap?
Yes, please.
Like, one thing that I'm definitely taking away is, like, and it's been apparent before, but more so this year than ever because of all the, like, rotation that we've talked about. Like, season-long numbers are a total lie. Like, don't come around this offseason being like, well, Doug Baldwin was a wide receiver 10, because it doesn't really tell the full story of, like, how they were volatile, like, week to week.
Yep.
Even Brandon Cooks, like, he was wide receiver 13. You know, that's great. But he also had, like, that first stretch of the season where he didn't do anything.
Oh, my gosh. Where did Jordan Matthews finish?
Wide receiver 17 in PPR.
No.
Yeah, no.
Really?
For real. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So, again, that just,
Jordan,
like,
Matthews.
He was top. I mean, he was top 20 standard. He was number 20.
Wow.
He was number 20 in standard league.
3 yards short of 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
What?
I mean, he came on strong at the end. What is it?
He did.
He had 6 touchdowns in his final 6 games.
He went bonkers in the back half.
I actually think he's going to be a pretty good draft bargain.
I agree. 100% agree. Still a young player.
Yeah.
He's going to be going into, what, his third year?
Third year.
That's amazing. Come on.
It will be interesting to see, too, because he played, like, exclusively from the slot in Chip Kelly's system. And in college, I wonder if a new coach, like, maybe moves him around, gets him outside. Or even just, like, he can still play from the slot, but get the dude downfield more. Like, that's what he started doing in the back half of the season.
I mean, Riley Cooper's running downfield routes from the slot. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
I mean, so Jordan Matthews can't run downfield routes in the slot? What? Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, single coverage, just throw to him. Who cares? See what happens. I don't get it.
All right. Hold on. Before we close this out, this discussion.
Okay.
Harmon mentioned, because we've already started working on player profiles for next year's draft kit.
Love it.
And Harmon was laughing.
Love it.
Kickers.
Harmon was laughing at some of the blurbs and positions and stuff where, like, Allen Robinson was obviously ranked way too low.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. So I thought it was fun. The last few minutes I've been scrolling back through some of our articles from August to read some hilariously wrong takes that we had.
Yes.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
We'll start with Harmon.
Let's do it.
Oh, all right.
Well, yours was the first one I grabbed because it's easiest to find your writer page on the old NFL.com.
Wonder why.
Let's do it.
Honestly, saying Joseph Randle will break out this season is not even close to a controversial take. The third-year back only had 105 career carries to his name and therefore has plenty of room for improvement. Yada, yada, yada. Behind a league-best offensive line on a good team and with big-time opportunity, Joseph Randle is a clear-cut breakout candidate.
I just threw up all over the podcast. Dude.
Can I just say...
I have one more line to read. All Randle has to do is play at a competent level to return fantasy value given his situation. He displayed the ability to do that last season.
Listen, bruh, I wasn't wrong on that. I didn't know he was going to go... I didn't know he was going to go full, like, psychopath and, like... I did not check his psyche eval when I projected him as a breakout candidate.
Can I just say, in the preseason when I was saying that Darren McFadden was going to emerge in the back half of the season because I thought he was going to be the most healthy guy,
and
he looked like the better fit in that offensive line. I remember a lot of cockeyed looks in this room.
Definitely.
And it goes back to the whole, I get he was injury prone, but a lot of guys tend to be injury prone when they're with the Raiders. And it's amazing how healthy they get when they get away from just a horrendous franchise. Not that the Raiders are that now, because they've got a great young trio there, and they've got a lot of hope on the horizon. But But back when he was playing running back, it was where careers went to die. Wiz, give us some more of these. I love this stuff.
This is fun. All right. So franchise in your bargains, you had your bargains piece, same thing. couple good ones in there. However, and I quote, "I'm already on record talking Andre Johnson up in my fantasy franchise tag players to target in drafts, and for good reason. His quarterback, Andrew Luck, arguably the best in the NFL, is building a great rapport with the veteran wideout. Johnson is a huge target on underneath routes and in the red zone. He should bring wide receiver 2 value to your roster, which is an outstanding bargain for a receiver that you draft as late as the 6th round."
Hang on.
What do you want from me? I mean,
Andre Johnson is not even in the top 50 wide receivers.
No, I mean, what do you
is
have?
Top 75?
What do you have, 3 touchdowns all
he
year?
He had one good game.
Yeah,
he had one good game. Revenge
touchdown
game.
In week 17.
He had his revenge game.
He had his revenge game,
right.
And that was it.
That was it.
That was it. And then we never
but
saw
in the preseason, it was all about, Andrew Luck and Andre Johnson have this chemistry and
I think that brings up an interesting point, though, about, you know, what to make of Andrew Luck next year.
Because when
he played last year, he didn't look very good. And I don't know if there was an injury situation that the Colts weren't talking about or whatever.
Possible.
But
that's possible.
I think there was.
I never thought about that. That's possible.
He looked awful at the start of the year. And then, obviously, he gets hurt. He's done for the rest of the season, what have you. But
I thought confidence was a big-time issue. He was patting that ball a lot inside the pocket. He just couldn't pull the trigger. And that was something that, you know, he was always been an extremely decisive thrower. But when he struggled, he was patting that ball forever. I just didn't understand. Let it go, Andrew. Let it go.
Yeah.
But that's what ended up leading to a lot of the sacks, and then that kind of hurt his confidence, and then that led to some interceptions as well.
A lot of interceptions.
Yes.
Many.
Yes.
All right. Here we go. This is from Marcus Grant. "Just a couple of weeks ago, so many of us, myself included, had high hopes for Cam Newton in 2015. Then Kelvin Benjamin suffered a season-ending knee injury, and that positivity melted away. Life comes at you fast. Carolina's offense now consists of one reliable pass catcher, Greg Olsen, one talented but injury-prone running back, Jonathan Stewart, and a whole host of question marks. That will put an undue burden on a quarterback who isn't known for his accuracy and who has seen his rushing totals decrease throughout his career. At the start of the preseason, I thought Newton could challenge to be a top-5 fantasy quarterback. Now that hill looks too steep to climb."
Ooh. Top-scoring player.
Hey, where did he finish with rushing yards, by the way?
A lot. Hold
636.
On.
630?
He led all quarterbacks in rushing
and
yards.
And 10 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
That was some serious whelping.
Everything I wrote was not wrong. All of it was true, right? Except for the part where he couldn't be a top-5.
I was with you being negative on Cam, but what we forgot was, you know, he just came in and was like, "Hey, man, I'm Superman.
I got you.
By the record, so Cam Newton's rushing totals would rank him as the 31st running back in terms of yardage.
Wow. Oh,
get out of here.
He's
cool.
5 yards behind Justin Forsett and Melvin Gordon.
Cam VP.
Oh, man.
All right, and to bury myself the worst, I couldn't find a good David Cobb take. I must have not put it on an
ink.
So instead, I'll bring you back to my first the deep dive in the draft kit.
And these were written when? August?
August.
August.
While rookie Ty Montgomery currently has the edge in getting snaps in 3 wide receiver sets, which the Packers run a lot, Jeff Janis should be able to find a way onto the field. Janis was a size-speed freak with measurables, that measurables Twitter was all abuzz about heading into the 2014 NFL draft. Janis is still a bit raw, but
Janis
improving, and more time with Aaron Rodgers could beget a potentially fruitful fantasy season. Janis is largely going undrafted in standard leagues, but he's one of the best deep sleepers to target as the season approaches.
There it is.
Along with Montgomery. Someone will emerge for the Packers, and my guess is Janis.
Someone will emerge.
Boy, that was the worst part of that thing. Nobody emerged.
Nobody emerged.
Except James Jones.
James Jones emerged. Yeah.
So, yep.
I had to have had one in there, too.
Let me look.
What
quick.
Was that? What did I do? Did I do...
Actually, if I go to this page...
Did I do busts?
I forget if we had.
I don't think
we might have had those two do them actually. Did busts.
Did
sleepers.
Harmony breakouts. Players.
No, I think you didn't. We didn't have you do one this
year. I think I took over one from.
Yeah.
Wait, hang on. I got fantasy draft kit bargains in. This was in May.
Oh, so. You did take one over. That's what it was.
Yeah.
You took over the was it the bargains?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got one.
Okay, please.
All right. This is Jeremy Hill, running back, Cincinnati Bengals. Look, I get it. He's in a timeshare with Gio Bernard, but my God, did you see the path of destruction he laid down on defenders last year as a rookie?
Oh, I'd gladly take
– this kind of sucks because all these guys died, but I'd gladly take Hill over Justin Forsett, Mark Ingram, and even Arian Foster. I think Hill's price will vary greatly, but if he's sitting there in round three, I don't care if you went RB, RB in rounds one and two. Go get him and figure out trades later.
Oh, good stuff.
There's some hot Tevin Coleman takes in here too.
Oh, yeah.
Hit me with those, please.
I don't know how much digital ink I can spill exploiting the virtues of Tevin Coleman and Kyle Shanahan's one-cut system. So here's some more analysis from Michael Fabiano Link. I have him rated as a top 15 back, well ahead of Darren McFadden, Frank Gore, LeGarrette Blount, Chris Ivory, Lamar Miller, and any running back in a Cleveland uniform. I give him a third round grade, meaning if you could snake his services in the fifth or sixth, huge dividends.
Yes.
And that's why I didn't make the playoffs in a lot of my That you right there is why I didn't make the
which,
playoffs.
Which, by the way, James Crowe, you really dug around for everybody in that Falcons backfield except Devontae Freeman.
Oh, my
gosh. You were Tevin Coleman. You were Teron Ward for a couple of weeks.
I put Teron Ward inside the danger zone. And, you know, well, here's the thing. I missed on him by a week, though, because I put him on the danger.
That's
true.
And then,
that is true.
The week after. He went, I think he went for 100 and a touch.
Yeah.
Wow.
Doesn't make any sense.
He was so motivated to get in the end zone the week after he let you down.
Right.
Man, I was down.
I just wasn't high on Devontae Freeman. I just, you know, I look at the system that he came from in college. I was watching him run last year, and then I think about the Shanahan offense. I just wasn't high on Freeman. Little did I realize he's a little mini tank, and he just could burrow his way into the end zone. He was so good this year. He's definitely a first round draft pick next year. There's no question about it. But man, yeah. I swung, and I missed.
We all did.
We all did.
It's almost as if this isn't an exact science, and we're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
We had some interesting top 10 takes on there as well, right? Like, we had our in that draft kit, we had, like, top 10 draft bargains. It was just a list.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of hits in those things, too, though.
Sure.
In all of those pieces. But looking back for some of the misses was fun and reading those things.
It's pretty
hilarious. There were a couple good swings and misses from all of us, but I found those to be more of the hilarious ones.
That's great.
Well, why don't we talk a little bit of playoff DFS?
Please.
And then we can daily dap and get out of here.
Cool. I like it.
So, let's see. Harmon, you're our DFS quote-unquote expert. Why don't you take us through what you're eyeing up for the slate?
I renounce the expert title.
That's why I threw it at you, because I knew you wouldn't want it.
I know. Well, thanks. I'm going to throw it right back.
Wait, why is it that you don't want this crown?
Because it's
just expert.
Because it's stupid, and it makes people like – because I'm not really an expert on anything.
None of us are.
Wait, I mean, you're not an expert? Unfollow.
Yeah, you can unfollow me on Twitter. I'm out here just like everybody that's listening, everybody that follows us on the internet. I'm out here trying to figure this thing out just like all of you guys are. So,
yep.
I don't like to think that anybody's better than anybody else, man. We're all equal in this
world. We're all analysts.
Anyways.
Which is, by the way, that's ridiculous. I love the humbleness of it, but it's ridiculous. I mean, you put in so many more hours than your regular Joe. You have access to information that a lot of regular Joes don't have access to. But I would just say forget about the access, because a lot of people say, oh, I just don't have your – if I had your access, I'd be doing whatever you're doing. That's just not true. You put in the hours, man. Like, it's funny. We make fun of Matt Harmon because he doesn't – he knows football and he knows his dog, and that's it. Like, he doesn't know, like, that many he doesn't watch movies.
I've been working on him.
He's gotten better about that. He's gotten better about that.
But, and it's fun. I'm like, how do you do all this stuff? I'm like, you must be single.
This is
oh, wow.
This is accurate.
and it's funny, too, because I say the same thing to Gelhar. I'm like, how do you read all these books, bro? Like, you got to be single. Like, you've got to be single.
You just get up in the morning and you grind, James. but yeah, I'm single too.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Don't sleep. That's
and it's because Marcus Grant, I know, like, he was on top of everything. He was on top. And then it's like, you know, I noticed that this year he was slipping a little bit in terms of some of the pop culture references.
I am no longer single.
No longer single.
I think there's a trend here.
There's a trend. All right, anyways, the weekend slate.
Okay.
DFS. We've got on Saturday, Chiefs at Texans, Steelers at Bengals. Sunday, Seahawks at Vikings, Packers at Redskins. Running backs.
We were looking at
this before the pod.
This is the thing. It's bad out here. You wouldn't need a running back in DFS, especially with D'Angelo Williams out.
Yeah.
Which, by the way,
what's his injury?
He was in a boot. He's having an MRI.
I think it's an ankle.
It's an ankle, right?
Yeah.
And I just side note, this pisses me off so much. Can I say that on this podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
It makes me sad too because D'Angelo Williams was like one of my favorite Panthers, and like I'm like, oh dude, he's in the playoffs. This is great. I hope he goes and gets it. Now he's hurt. It makes me sad. I hate jerseys, but one of the only two jerseys that I own is a D'Angelo Williams jersey.
A D'Angelo Williams.
Apparently, Mike Tomlin clarified it was a foot injury actually, and he is day to day.
Now, did you go hipster Memphis jersey?
No. But this was like when he was bad. Like, remember this? Well, he wasn't bad, but like his first couple years in the NFL, he was really like he wasn't producing.
He was a rotational player.
Right. Yeah, he was starting. His like authentic like stitched jersey was like those things were on sale for like $75, and
wow.
I scooped one up the year before he had 18 rushing touchdowns with Carolina.
Woo! There you go.
All right, so
but now I never wear it because I'm a grown up. but anyways, so with the running backs like this week, it's really tough. Like. None of these guys are in a great matchup or in a great spot. Like Marshawn Lynch is probably a guy that like Adrian Peterson's there, but he's also going against Seattle.
Gross.
I do like him because he's at home and it should be a rather close game. And he's Adrian Peterson, of course. Like Marshawn Lynch is there. He's on the road. He's coming off his first, he's coming first week back off an injury. I never like using those players.
Right.
And then other than that, like you're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel with like Alfred.
Charcandrick West?
I like Charcandrick West,
Spencer
but they're
Ware
also.
Too. Spencer Ware looked good on Sunday.
Yeah. Those guys you can go with. I know I did this a couple weeks ago, and then I got burned, and then he had 100 yards this past week. But Alfred Blue, playing at home, probably going to get 20 touches in a close competitive game.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a pretty good value in DFS. I hate chasing the good Alfred Blue game.
those are words you don't hear very often.
But I'm going to do it again.
Here we are in 2016. Matt Harmon, and I quote, I hate chasing the good Alfred Blue game.
Like, as I'm saying, I just did this like 2 weeks ago, and
right.
It didn't work. So that's
but you're going back to the well.
Well, I just don't know what else to. I don't know what else to do. Like, do you want to play one of the Washington running backs? Because we all think that they're going to beat Green Bay.
Let's talk about Eddie.
Yeah, all right, you talk about Eddie.
He's there.
He's
he
got
could
the
get
best
a bunch of touches.
Hold on. What's the weather forecast for the Washington D.C. area?
I imagine it'll be cold.
If it's cold and rainy, I will play Eddie Lacy because that's where he's effective.
Yeah, the thing is, in that last game too on Sunday night, McCarthy, since he's taken over play calling, has wanted to reestablish the run early, and they were doing that effectively, and they were moving the chains and stuff, and then inexplicably he's like, let's just stop that. So. They could, watching the tape, going back to it, being like, oh, we're going to have to slow this game down, use the run to set up some play action because our wide receivers can't get open because they're slow and bad, and they might feed Eddie Lacy.
So, by the way, just checking the forecast
for the
greater Landover, Maryland area.
Sunday.
It's actually not going to be terrible. I mean, a high of 55 with scattered showers. That's not awful.
That's not cold enough.
That's not awful.
It's not bad enough for Eddie Lacy.
I mean, it's awful if you live in Los Angeles,
is what it is right now.
It is. Well, actually, it is stormy. Like, okay, put back the curtain. In Los Angeles, the joke is people freak out and they don't drive well when it rains or whatever.
Took me an hour to get to work.
It is legitimately storming out there right
now.
It is legitimately storming.
Doesn't matter, though. Somebody could use their hose and spray the road and somebody would like roll their
car well,
in
Los
Angeles because they can't handle it.
But today there's a legit excuse for it. I'm just saying.
True.
I'm just saying. All right, wide receiver. Give me some names. Good values. Favorite plays. What do we got?
You got Douglas. Douglas Baldwin.
Yeah, I kind of like Doug Baldwin.
Angry Doug is out there because, they've just been hot right now.
Yeah.
I just feel like that game's going to be very low scoring. Minnesota's defense is pretty good. They're playing at home. Seattle, on the road, not quite as good.
But I look at this also, though, as a situation where the Seahawks, who were red hot, last month of the season.
Yeah.
that defense could force some turnovers. They could get some turnovers. They could set up Russell Wilson with some short fields. And that offense likes to attack, especially. I mean, it is a staple of a Pete Carroll team. When you get a turnover, especially on the plus side of the field, you are immediately going to the end zone. And so that could mean if they do get those turnovers, those interceptions, those fumble recoveries, that they're going to take some shots at the end zone with Doug Baldwin.
Also, I wouldn't be concerned about Seattle going on the road. They just went on the road and smacked Arizona in the mouth.
Can I just say
Didn't
this?
Didn't they smack this team in the mouth on the road?
They did, too.
Or was that in Seattle?
No, I think it was
that
in
was
Minnesota.
That was in Minnesota.
I'll say this. I actually think Seattle's on super high upset alert. Coming off
really?
Of a
– Get out.
I'm being serious. I think like coming it. Off of a huge emotional win on the road, as you mentioned, against Arizona, taking on kind of a no-name, faceless team in the Minnesota Vikings. I get Peterson's there, but, you know, he's not – I don't think he's one of the faces of the league anymore. I just think that Seattle will come – you know, have a little bit of a letdown game. I think it's going to be super close, very tight. I think Minnesota at home, I really think they could pull this one out. That doesn't necessarily have any fantasy implications, unless you're playing, you know, the other kind of fantasy where...
Anyways, Shadow League figures are knocking
right.
on the door.
Right. But yeah, I just think that's... I think Seattle's on super high upset alert there. But again, I don't know if that has anything to do with fantasy, but who cares?
I like Martavis Bryant this week. What a shock. But
go figure.
But he had a really quiet stretch, obviously, to end the season.
Yeah, we kept saying every week for the last 3 weeks how much we like Martavis Bryant.
Right.
His scores the last 4 weeks were at the same Cincinnati team. He had 8.5, 3.7 against Denver, 1.5, and then 0.5 to end the season against Cleveland and Baltimore. So I think that that's good, though, because I think people will be off him. He's also in the value range with, like, right around Jeremy Maclin and DeSean Jackson are right ahead of him. I think people will prefer to go there.
Right.
If they don't go all the way up to the top with Antonio Brown and DeAndre Hopkins, or they'll go down a little bit to guys like Tyler Lockett, James Jones. And so I think that he's in an interesting range that people are going to overlook. Also, he's going to probably he lines up the most on the right side of the field, where he'll face off with left cornerback Dre Kirkpatrick from the Bengals, who is by far their weakest link in the secondary. I was talking about this with Chris Wessling on Twitter last night while I was cranking weights in the gym.
yeah, buddy.
Want to add that in there. But anyways, like we were talking about like what's gone on with him these past couple weeks, and he did have a neck strain early in the first quarter or the second quarter of the game last week. And it's just interesting that they kind of stopped taking shots to him down the field, but I think that they'll probably get back to that this week, especially if D'Angelo Williams sits. They'll have to funnel more targets his way. So I think it presents an interesting opportunity to get him at a rather low ownership percentage, and I like that given his, you know, natural upside.
Marcus Grant, favorite wide receiver play this week?
I mean, I guess I am going back to Doug Baldwin again just for the reasons I mentioned. I think that, we have discounted him for so long, and look, I'm not going to go run out and try to grab Doug Baldwin early in a standard draft next year. But for now,
sure,
you know, it's
ride the hot hand, baby.
It's not chasing the points; it's riding the hot hand, and he has been as hot as anybody out there.
Wiz,
I think you know you mentioned him, Harmon. Jeremy Maclin's not a terrible play either because of the volume he gets in that offense. He's been on a bit of a scoring streak.
Yeah.
And that Chiefs offense has been looking pretty good the last couple weeks. I mean, Alex Smith made a boneheaded interception, I think, last week. But aside from that, I don't mind him because I don't think as many people will be on him. Everybody's going to be on Antonio Brown and stuff. So Maclin could return a nice value for you.
A lot of good NFC quarterbacks. Where are you going here in terms of daily?
Cousins?
Yeah, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, probably Cousins. I flirted with the idea of A.J. McCarron.
Oh, you.
I flirted with it.
It could be the Red Rifle.
By the way.
It could. Well, no, I did see this morning that
the cast
is off, but they're still preparing as though A.J. McCarron's going to start.
So. A.J. McCarron, A.J. Green stack against Steelers. Definitely. Horrible secondary.
Yeah, if I'm going McCarron, I'm throwing Green in there as the stack.
Okay.
Actually, Tyler Eifert as well.
Ooh, that's good. Hey, well, that's it's great. Let's talk about tight end very quickly. We got some high-profile tight ends here, Kelsey, Eifert, and Reed.
Yeah.
Are there any other plays, or of those three, who's your favorite? Matt Harmon?
My favorite would probably be, I want to say Jordan Reed, but he's going to be the highest owned guy. I like Heath Miller a lot this week. The Bengals allowed 100 catches on the season to tight ends, which was the most in the NFL, but they only allowed one touchdown on the year. So I think that there's some like positive regression, or negative regression, I guess, for the Bengals there. But as far as tight end scoring, I think that Heath could sneak in there for a touchdown this week. Other than that, it's pretty gross. I mean, so you're probably going to either look at Reed, Eifert. I don't really trust Kelsey. Macklin. By the way, we just got
a hip injury. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he missed practice with a hip injury.
Kelsey did?
No, Macklin.
Oh, Macklin did.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that too.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
so maybe that presents an opportunity for Kelsey target-wise. Okay.
Or Bert alert.
Woo! Yes!
Bert alert!
That's Albert Wilson.
For people that aren't on Truthers.
Albert Wilson.
That's interesting. Okay. All right. I love Albert Wilson so much, but I can't wait to write 1,000 articles about him this offseason. But as far as tight ends go, yeah, I think it's Reed, Eifert, or Heath Miller. Other than that, I really don't want to consider any of these other guys.
Wiz, quarterback, favorite quarterback and or tight end?
We kind of hit him. I mentioned I don't mind Cousins. I think he's playing at home where he's been statistically a lot better this year.
Is Rodgers a contrarian play?
He kind of is, yeah. I was saying in one of the tournaments I might throw out Rodgers in there.
Oh, my.
But, yeah, otherwise you can ride Russell Wilson, too. I'm steering clear of the quarterbacks in that Chiefs-Texans game. Also, like, the last several Steelers-Bengals games have been pretty close because of that familiarity.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm jumping on. And Ben Roethlisberger has been bad on the road recently.
He has.
Like, really bad. And just kind of bad in general the last couple weeks. Sorry, franchise, but
it's true.
I think the ones I feel best about would be Cousins or Russell Wilson, but I'm sure a lot of people are going to be on them, so you could throw Rodgers as a contrarian pick.
Rodgers as a contrarian. I can't believe I'm saying it.
So I just built a lineup here
while
we're sitting here talking. This is what I ended up with. Brian Hoyer, stacked with DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay.
Eddie Lacy, Adrian Peterson, Martavis Bryant, A.J. Green, Heath Miller, Nick Novak from the Texans is the kicker.
Okay.
If you're playing on a site that has kickers, I dislike that because he's going to be indoors with the roof closed this time of year. That's important. And then Washington's defense against what's left of the Green Bay offense. So, and again, we talk about this a lot during the season, but, you know, I have Bryant, Green, and Miller, like, because if one passing game goes off, the other one will have to respond and catch up. So that's an important play, especially on a short slate like this. You want to find that game where the two passing games are going to be going back and forth in order to get up to the high score.
And you could also do a similar thing in that Packers-Washington game, because that if the Packers offense does somehow find some mojo with the way the Washington passing offense has been playing and how poor their secondary has played for parts of the season. Kellen Moore, I mean, it was a meaningless game and some of the starters were up, but Kellen Moore threw for 435 on them. So that could be another one to look for that sort of situation.
I think that will be high scoring. I really do.
That's another one.
Yeah, I like it. I don't think either defense is, you know, shutdown style. Both teams like to pass. I can see that game scoring some points.
Yep.
All right, let's get the daily dabs and get out of here.
Let's do it. I actually got everything set up now, so.
Sweet.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the daily
dabs and hook. Give me dabs, because I'll be scribbling right.
Give me dabbing up, dabs abound, dabs up.
All right, daily dap time. I feel like it's been a while since I've done this, but Marcus Grant, MG, my guy.
You know, because it's been a while since I've done this, I got a few here right now.
I love it.
Quick undap to Twitter.
Okay.
There's talk that Twitter could expand to 10,000 characters per tweet.
Why would it be 10,000?
I don't know, but it's a bad idea.
That's a horrible idea.
It's a bad idea. See, the best part about the internet is that it's giving everybody a voice. The worst part about the internet is that it's giving everybody a voice. If we're giving them a louder megaphone, that's not necessarily
good.
Well,
I mean, and the other thing about that, too, is, like, Facebook already has the unlimited character.
And I don't always
read them. I don't go to Facebook because the posts are too long, and I'm tired of looking at cat pics.
Exactly. So, that's an undap. A quick dap to Netflix and DreamWorks.
Yeah.
They are reviving Voltron.
What?
Yeah, buddy. The Lions are coming back. It has given me my new writing destiny. I'll have to see you guys later. It's been fun working here. But now I'm going to go write for Voltron. Because that is what I've always wanted
Wait,
to do.
What?
I joke with you, Nat. I was for a while watching old eps of Voltron with the idea of writing a movie script for it.
So, oh, yeah.
So, yeah. That's what I'll be doing at my desk for the next few weeks.
You're so L.A., bro.
So, but finally, my real dap actually is I just want to dap everybody who listened to the podcast this year. I mean, we brought it back after, you know, a couple year absence.
Right.
It's actually doing a standalone podcast.
Yeah.
And
It's
been fun, and I've just really been thrilled and amazed at the way people have eaten this thing up and the tweets we get for all you guys out there listening. who are referencing things we say and who really seem to be into it and getting a hold of
Amazing.
It.
Amazing.
And it's been great. I mean, the download numbers have been fantastic.
Sure.
And really, this isn't – it couldn't happen without all you guys out there listening. I mean, Alex did a great job of helping to resurrect this thing and
yep.
really putting it together on a week-by-week basis. But
Daps to the whiz, for sure.
Absolutely, but it wouldn't have mattered if nobody listened. So daps to everybody out there who followed along all season. Hopefully we entertained, we educated, we made things better for your fantasy season, but definitely props to all of you guys for helping
us. It's funny, too, because we didn't really get a lot of promotional push.
No,
this thing
definitely not.
Not from, any of the league managed sites. It was more of an organic grassroots type deal.
It was.
We didn't even get cross promotion on other podcasts.
They started now.
They started, but I mean, early on, it just wasn't that.
Nah, we were the redheaded stepchild. We were Harry Potter under the steps.
So I'll tell you what. Yeah, man. If you were on with us from the get go. Daps to you guys for
Absolutely.
Sure, because, I mean, you really went out of your way to find us and listen to us, so that was great. I do appreciate that, no question about it. Matt Harmon, what's up?
Yeah, one thing, we talk about this daily fantasy stuff, I will be writing a DFS piece for the playoffs these next 2 weeks.
Okay, there you go.
So don't forget to actually read that, too. My daily dap is one of the Christmas gifts I got is my Fitbit, and I am obsessed with this. if you don't know what it is, it's a little, like, basically, it looks like I'm on house arrest with this thing on my wrist. Like,
right.
It's just a little black band with the digital, like, things that bark at you sometimes. But it tracks like your steps, your heart rate.
He literally every time we go anywhere, it's like, gotta get my steps in.
Yeah.
Wonder what I'm at. I'm like,
stop. Like, yeah. Alex loves it when I look over in the living room and I'm like, let's see how many steps I've taken today.
I just imagine you get up and just wander around the couch a whole bunch of times.
Well, actually, this is really funny. I upped it to 12,000 because I was crushing 10,000. You slackers are behind. And so I upped it to 12,000, and yesterday it was just like we took a stroll here at work.
I had
done a bunch of stuff, and then my last step was walking to the toilet in the bathroom, and it buzzed that I'd hit 12,000. And then I was like, all right, cool, I made it. But no, it's great. It's really because I lost a lot of weight a couple of years, like about a year ago, year and a half ago now. And so I'm pretty obsessed with like my health and trying to be like better about that. And especially this off season, I want to do a lot more. But this is great because it helps like keep you like motivated to do like more like steps. Like I don't take the elevator at work anymore because I want to get my floors in.
There you go.
So that sort of stuff. So it's really great, and it's a great thing to be like obsessive about.
A lot easier to lose weight in Southern California than it is in West Virginia.
This is true. Although I've never been to West Virginia, so I wouldn't know. That's not true. I have been, but I've never lived there.
Also South Carolina, very tough place to lose weight.
Also, never lived there either.
Well I mean, your family did, though.
That is inaccurate. They lived in the state above that, North Carolina.
Oh,
and
I see.
Still do to this day.
I see. All right. Okay. Well, there you go.
God.
I'll get it right one of these days.
No, you won't.
franchise, De La Daps.
All right, I'm going to stick with the music theme because the one time I went away from that, someone had already dapped what my dap was last time we did the pod.
Okay.
But, So Coachella announced its 2016 lineup last night.
Yeah.
2 days early. It was today. It's Tuesday morning right now. They were supposed to announce it Wednesday.
Wait, when is Coachella?
April.
Oh, okay.
And it came out last night on Twitter. And
it
I'm pretty
set the world on fire.
It did set the world on fire. I'm pretty excited about it. I already have my ticket. But LCD Sound System, Guns N' Roses, and Calvin Harris are headlining. So
wow,
I got back into the LCD Sound System catalog. It's getting me all pumped up listening to Daft Punk is playing at my house and all of their greatest hits. And the lineup is really sick. And I think Marcus Grant is going this year.
I am going this year. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm probably going this year, too.
Ice Cube's playing. Run the Jewels, The Arcs, Gary Clark Jr., Unknown Mortal Lord. I mean, there's so many.
There's so many great bands. And this will be my third year.
I didn't know that you guys owned ripped jeans and had furry hats.
It's quite.
You guys are ready to go.
Well, now that Matt Harmon's here, he brought some out with him.
You can't wear jeans in the desert.
Yeah, man. Come on. It's like.
I said ripped jeans. You got to get the ventilation.
Right.
Got to get the ventilation in there.
Right.
Look, I know. Look, I get
it's
it.
In the desert, you got to prepare, man. You got to have like a fanny pack with water bottles, sunscreen.
How did I get brought into this? I wasn't listening. listening to Franchise's Dap, but then I stopped listening for a second.
Okay.
It's all good. You don't like music, so it's all good.
I like music. That's
what a take.
That's ridiculous. Turn the heat off. That is wrong.
But
I don't like movies, but I like music. I'm not a crazy person.
All right. All right.
What do you like? That's what I want to know. What do you like?
Music?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be that idiot that says, like, I like everything, but I do really like everything.
No,
I
you
mean,
don't.
Well,
that's not true.
No, I don't like modern country. Like,
okay.
That's what I don't like, but I like
George Strait.
I can get down with some of that, but, like, you know, really, like, original country, like Johnny Cash and, like, the first Hank Williams. Like
outlaw country.
Yeah, like outlaw country. Mm-hmm. We listen to that in West Virginia a lot.
Of course you
But I like, I mean, I'm a big alternative fan, and, like, folk music is really my jam.
Okay, there you go.
Banjos, whiny, white guys, like, that's right.
Weepy, I think, is
weepy,
a good
term.
Yeah.
Weepy white guys with banjos.
Yeah. Dave Matthews franchise and I connect on that.
Yeah, sure, a lot of Mumford and
Oh, man, don't get me started on Mumford & Sons, because that last album was quite a change in direction.
They did. They went a little more electric.
Wait, what did they do?
They dropped the banjo completely.
They went a little more electric and stuff. Yeah.
No, they did
They changed
and
it
was,
why would you do that?
I don't know, but I'm going to get all up in my feelings for a second. Like, some of their slow songs were still pretty good because it kind of had that same feel, but their up-tempo stuff just it was not the
good.
Same. Yeah.
Okay.
Alabama Shakes is probably my favorite band out there.
They're fantastic.
They're good.
Amazing. They're up
what is that
Grammy,
lady's
right?
name?
Brittany Howard.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. She can freaking wail, man.
She's amazing.
But, yeah, she's really good. All right, Wiz, what's up?
All right, quick daily dap to Dan Campbell for taking it on the chin in Week 17 when he spiked his helmet and had it bounce back
that
up in his face.
Dan Carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
Not
well,
the
Campbell,
Buffalo Bills kicker.
Not the PC principal.
I want to get Dan Carpenter. Excuse me. Sorry. taking it on the chin for that. Daily Dep to Netflix for announcing that they're going to release season 2 of Daredevil on opening night of Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. That's a fun little competitive move there. I think that's pretty cool.
That sounds like a troll move.
Is that trolling?
It's total trolling.
I think so.
It's total trolling from Netflix and Marvel, and I like it because I'd probably rather watch that than go see Dawn of Justice.
What?
And Dawn of Justice does not look good.
Oh, my God. The previews look amazing. What's wrong with you?
No, they look awful.
What is wrong with
they,
you?
I mean,
Marcus,
if you like
in.
If you yeah. like seeing Spider-Man 3 all over again, knock yourself out.
I am horribly offended. The trailers look awesome.
There's going to be 51 characters, about 113 storylines.
None of it's going to make sense. Like, they're just going to pop up and they're going to be like, cool. It's like if when you're a kid and you have a bucket full of action figures, this movie is like Zack Snyder took that bucket and just threw it on the floor. And
I
was
like
look
bucket.
At this.
You know what, guys? We are extremely divergent on this thing.
Marcus and I will drink bourbon and watch Daredevil then, and you guys can go
good.
See
it. It looks
good. I mean, I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to.
Dude, he's got wide receivers. He's got a great.
And last step to New Glarus Brewing Company. It's only in Wisconsin you can get these beers. But my friend was in Wisconsin for the holiday. Brought me back a 6-pack.
Okay.
To pick him up from the airport, so I got to drink some of it while I watched the Packers lose.
That made me feel
right at home. But New Glarus, if you're ever in Wisconsin, is delicious.
New Glarus.
New
spell
Glarus.
That. Can you spell that?
N E W space G L A R U S. Spotted Cow. Two women.
Okay.
Moon Man, so good.
Man.
It's delicious. And they've had lots of offers.
I am thirsty all of a sudden.
They have had lots of offers to sell it outside of the state, and they refuse. It's only in Wisconsin.
You can only buy it in Wisconsin?
They just busted a gas station in Minnesota because they had people going and buying cases and then were reselling it in Minnesota, and they got busted for it.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So, they're like trying to bring back Prohibition. This is great.
It's legit. I love it. If you're ever in Wisconsin, make sure you
can only buy it in Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
It's a Wisconsin brewery, and you can only buy it there.
What the heck? All right. Well,
lots of people, like, well, anytime they're in Wisconsin, will buy cases and like, bring it back to their house and, like, stash it there. I have friends in Illinois and stuff that would do that.
All right.
It's good.
Well, I guess I'll just have to stick with my 95 microbreweries out here in California. I'll give a daily dap out. I just got my Xbox One over the holidays and just broke it out, set it all up, broke out the old Halo 5.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's fun, man.
How I've missed you, Halo. How I have missed you. My wife's super mad at me now. It's all good. My baby's, like, neglected. She's only getting, like, one diaper change a
day.
Dude,
you gotta get baby Co some sticks.
And, man, I'm into it. I am into it. I forgot
it's
all
fun.
About it. I haven't played that franchise in a long time. Probably 3 or 4 years. But, man, it is. I'm back into it now, and I'm all about it. I'm all about it. But daily daps of the sticks. not to be confused with Move the Sticks. Dan Jeremiah, great writer and scout here, but yeah, no, it's great, man. It's awesome, and so that will, I guess, do it. Since I got it for Christmas, I figured, you know, what the heck. And I haven't been on since, so I figure I'd daily dap it before we get out of here.
Nice.
And so, yeah, that'll do it for us for today, for the franchise, for West Virginia's finest, Matt Harmon, MG Marcus Grant, and the Wiz Kid from Wisconsin. I'm James Coe. We're out.
What's up, everybody? DJ Bucky here with Move the Sticks. Bucky, tell everybody what's coming up on Move the Sticks.
You know, we're going to take a look at the playoff teams. We're going to do a little unique thing. We're going to rank them by position. Quarterback, running back, wide receivers, head coach, defense. Who have the top five positions?
Yeah, also going to chat with our coach, Brian Bilk. That's Move the Sticks. You can check it out, NFL.com/podcast, as well as YouTube, NFL channel, Pump and Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.